Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello, Egg Chasers. This is the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, the podcast about rugby that doesn't take itself or the game too seriously. Three mates once again here with you to talk about it, and what a weekend. Despite the fact we're in those barren summer months, I hate it when I hate July and August. Everyone loves it as they go off on holiday.
Can I disagree with you off the bat immediately? Terrible podcasting, terrible etiquette. You should never disagree with your host, but I disagree with you. Do you know why?
Why?
Because this is the time of the year that we can talk about issues in depth which you can never otherwise talk about.
I take your point, JB.
Phil, there's no rugby, but we can really, really talk.
Phil? I mean, I'm just looking at the tone of our skin, and none of us appear to have got a lot of sunlight these past few months. That's how much we don't care for the beach, and we do care about being in a darkened dungeon.
I've been trying my best, but my skin doesn't take the sunlight very well.
Phil's a weird dichotomy that he hates the beach, but he loves the gym. I mean, I've never known someone prepare for a beach so much who hates beaches.
Well. We are prepared and we are ready to go for this podcast, in which we will be talking about the Super Rugby final. We will be putting two more sides under the microscope, one from the Pro 14. Is that the official name, the Guinness Pro 14?
It is the official name, yes.
It is, yeah.
And the another side from the Avicii Premiership. Ospreys and Gloucester, get ready, it's your turn today. And much more to talk about, besides an England training camp, a Women's World Cup and more. But just to remind you, you can find us, you're probably listening to us on the Apple Podcast app, on Acast, subscribe to both, leave your reviews on iTunes as well, like Manly Mance has done, who says 5 stars. This podcast is so good that when I'm listening to it on the toilet, I actually hit pause before I flush, so I don't miss a word. It feels like a backhanded compliment. No, that's a compliment.
Flat out compliment. Unusual compliment, but compliment nonetheless.
Absolutely, and you'll like this one, boys. Ports Gav says 5 stars. If you know grassroots rugby, you'll know these guys. Tim's the one who G's you up, talks tactics, and picks you up when you mess up. Phil, the quiet one that leads by example. And JB, who pre-match bellows wildly at you and post-match hands you something foul in a shot glass.
Unbelievable.
Rugby blokes talking rugby, what's there not to like? Thank you very much. Leave your review on iTunes and we could feature it next time. There's something in like the 10 different people you meet at your rugby club.
Oh,
there are definitely categories, aren't there? Yeah. Definitely categories.
Yeah.
We had, for Talk H, where the hell's my bell? Where's my bell?
Where's your...
You got the synthetic bell.
You got your synthetic bell, Jay. Come on.
Here you go. Here is a synthetic bell. Because I was with Didsbury Talk H this weekend. We had our first pre-season game against Kenilworth, which was amazing. And I've actually got a bit of a gem for you boys later on.
Ooh.
Regarding this. A bit of an audio gem. I know how much you love your audio gems, Tim.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. All about it. Right. Yeah. I mean, so you were saying something then. You were going... There was a point to that. You weren't just saying you have something coming up, were you? It was related to the different stereotypes of rugby players.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. So we did the whole like the whole thing. We had this week the guy that can't drink, literally can't get a pint down.
Was that you?
Don't be ridiculous, mate. Don't be ridiculous. I've got the second fastest pint in the world.
Unfortunately, after Tim. You drink alongside the man with the fastest.
What are the chances? yeah, and then we've basically got the guy that likes to sing, which I will show you later. And I think the weird thing about Disney Talk H is we are very heavy-ended. You know, there's always like one guy who might be a little bit too educated to play rugby.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
That is basically our entire pack. Like
you don't want them in the pack.
Yeah.
Quite often.
Every member of our pack has got a master's, a PhD, or is a medical doctor, wow. Except for the hooker.
And except for you when you...
I'm coach.
When you roll coach. In and coach.
Yeah, yeah. I'm comfortably the least qualified man there.
So by the sounds of it, post-match boat races are out, but post-match university challenge in the bar he's in. Beardmore, yeah.
Holland, Oxford. Yeah, exactly right, mate. Exactly right.
Right, but just before we get into the Super Rugby, have you seen the... And I am slightly biased because I mean, we all love BT Sport as a broadcaster.
100%.
But have you seen the posters, the billboards that have been going up recently? The ones that have... there's one of... Is it Juan Mata or is it Eden Hazard getting tackled by Maro Itoje? They're sort of... They're combining football and rugby together. And there's one there of Gareth Bale trying to tackle Courtney Laws.
Good luck.
Yeah, it's never going to work, is it? And terrible technique. Just look at Gareth Bale's technique there. You think you're going to stop big Courtney with just grabbing his forearm? Come on.
You probably break your hand.
I've seen the...
Isn't that just like good technique by Courtney? You know, you got to move your feet, you got to create a weak shoulder, run at arms, not shoulders. I mean, that's standard procedure, isn't it?
Branches, not trunks.
Correct, mate.
Yeah, exactly.
I've seen the... Have you seen the Dele Alli? It's like a two-minute video of him kind of taking on all comers in all different sports, including him wearing a Quinns kit.
Really?
Yeah. Breaking, so Quinn's against Saracens, he breaks the first line and then gets smashed by Maro. Yes, it's quite good.
He's in a Quinn's kit, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Quinn's kit.
Because I'd like to see Dele Alli run down Jamie Roberts' channel. That would really excite me. I'd like to run down Jamie Roberts' channel just to know what it feels like.
Oh. I'd love to see just football. I know they're completely different sports, but I'd love to. I think it would be a brilliant test to somehow do some kind of challenge which all different sportsmen get to compete against each other.
They used to do
this, didn't
they? It was like, what was it called? There was like
Superstars. Or
yeah,
whatever.
That's the one.
Kevin Keegan stacking it on a bike on an athletics track.
The Kevin Keegan in the 90s. And then they redid it in the 2000s, and Austin Healey was in it, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He was very, very good.
I mean, I guess the problem is with it now, there's so much to do. I mean, TV back in the day was where it was at, and you know, a TV show could make X amount of money, but now TV is worth less money and these stars are worth so much money.
Yeah.
I mean, what happens if Paul Pogba falls off a bike? I mean, you've got a real problem.
Yeah.
Who's insuring him?
God, who can possibly afford to insure him?
All right, then. Well, one thing that could happen is, like, the principle of, say, CrossFit, for example, is that if you're a big guy and you're really strong, you might do the lifting stuff quicker, but then you'll struggle a bit more with the aerobic work and the body weight work. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So just some rugby players doing CrossFit challenges.
That
would be cool. Very entertaining, yeah.
Didn't Jamie Cuddmore complete CrossFit? That was the... I'm pretty sure there was
his
like...
His monkey bar work was incredible, wasn't it?
Yeah. I mean, pre-World Cup, that's what he was doing.
For someone who's 19.
Jonathan Fisher and Alex Corbisiero have a CrossFit joint, I think.
Do they? Yeah.
And I know someone I used to go to school with...
John Fisher still at Bristol?
I think he might be, yeah. As someone I used to go to school with... Mark Ireland, who played for Quinns and Irish and played a lot in France, he's part of a CrossFit gym that Maro goes to.
I tell you what, mate, not to get too CrossFitty here because we all hate those people, but it makes a huge difference to your rugby. If that's what you're doing in the summer, when you come back to pre-season, it feels great.
Because you've done quite a bit this summer, haven't you?
Yeah, and I've never been fitter going back into a season at 33. So, you know, it does make a huge, huge difference. So the other guy who's big into CrossFit is Owen Franks' dad. Owen and Ben Franks' dad has been into CrossFit since it started, I think.
Really?
Yeah, he's got a few gyms in New Zealand, or however they say it.
New Zealand.
That's the one, mate.
Owen Franks. Right, let's go down, back down to New Zealand then. And to the Super Rugby champions, the Sailors, who won in Johannesburg against the Lions.
They did.
So I've not seen this game, and I've got a couple of takeaways from it, even though I've not seen it.
That's impressive.
Yes, it is. So, because I don't want to detract from the game, because I've got nothing to say about the actual game itself, how about you, Phil?
In terms of the game,
mm-hmm.
So I've only seen the extended highlights, because I was walking in the Lake District. It's interesting. So, you kind of look at it and superficially think the red card's a massive turning point. Red card after 38 minutes. But the Crusaders were already 2-0 up at that point. And so we spoke last week about the solidity of the Crusaders' defence, which has been kind of the platform that they've used all year, and then they've sparked their attack. So they had that defence, and the Tamani Valu try in the first half is a great example of that. Yanti's got smashed.
He got hammered. I saw that.
Yeah. He got absolutely smashed. The ball, it was one of his own players, put his foot in the wrong place, kicked the ball through, and next thing you know, Tamani Valu is streaking down the left wing. Yeah. No one got anywhere near him. But that came, so that 80-yard try came from their defence, which is the platform.
Yeah, you're right.
So I don't think the red card was as much of the turning point as it was. With that said, if you look at last week's game against my beloved Canes, when the Canes went however many points, 20-odd points up.
And 19 points up 4 minutes before half-time, I think.
And the Lions came back so strongly in the second half. The Lions came back in the last 20 minutes in this game, but they didn't have enough in the tank, partly because they only had 14 men on the field.
Yeah, exactly that. And I don't know what the statistical point was, but I did see it written down somewhere in a write-up of the game about the number of points that Lions score in the first half versus second half, and it's like 4-1 by ratio of 4-1
right?
Second half points, something like that.
Is that a fitness thing, do you reckon?
Possibly. I don't know.
Well, normally it's New Zealand teams that do that.
Yeah.
It's New Zealand teams and New Zealand themselves very, very rarely get outscored in the last half, last 20
what
minutes.
What I will say about the Lions when I've watched them this season is they are relentless. I mean, their multi-phase game doesn't tend to stick too well in the early phases, because when everyone's fresh and you can meet it with physical aggression, you can stop it.
There's no gaps in the defence at that stage.
But then when you get to the latter stages of a game and they're doing the same things over and over again, the big carries keep on coming, it does stack up that it's that continual pressure that will eventually break a team.
Yeah.
I watched the game via a online portal.
You illegally watched this game,
I didn't say that at all.
No one's saying that. No one's saying that, JB.
And it was South African. And I just want, like, they are so excited.
Oh, you were in South Africa, weren't you say?
Yeah, I was in South Africa. They were so excited at anything South Africa did. And, I mean, for a final, even if the opposition are scoring and you're from, you're from a host nation broadcaster, I still want you to get excited about amazing rugby or great moments.
Yeah.
The commentary of the Tamani Valu try, if you just have a look at South African commentary.
On Super Sport, probably.
It was just a... it was just Tamani Valu running and...
he's dotted it down.
Yeah, he's not going to be scored. And he scored. Okay, cool.
That's 5 points. Move on. Phobos. Yeah, that's right. Okay. Yeah, well, it's kind of double-edged sword, this. It is a shame because I really wanted South African rugby to have something to hang its hat on. It's had a bit of a barren time for what was traditionally a rugby superpower. I think winning the Super Rugby... Particularly as, they've had two teams kicked out of Super Rugby. It would just be a massive boost for the nation as a whole and, such a proud rugby nation. I don't like to see it as lost as it is at the moment. So that was the first thing.
Well, Lions, back-to-back finals.
Yeah,
which,
I mean...
That is impressive. No matter what you say about the structure of the tournament, back-to-back finals
is impressive. You're completely right. I think a win would have been amazing, particularly as Johan Ackerman's on his way out, which we'll talk about later. The other thing, though, is... If New Zealand hadn't won this, it's almost... I mean, getting a team to Super Rugby and drawing with the Lions doesn't sound like a miserable year, but for the New Zealanders, that would have been a super miserable year.
Well, do you know one person who... I wonder how Todd Blackadder is feeling.
Well,
seven titles in 13 years for the Crusaders. Under Todd Blackadder, no titles in 8 years.
Wow.
A new coach, 1-1.
Yeah.
So this is my next point, which is... How much of a team's success is down to the team's, in Johan Ackerman's terms, the team's DNA? And what I mean by that is there are some teams who just have a strong identity, and for whatever reason it is, they win every year, or they're successful almost every year. And I wonder if that's the case with the Crusaders. And if that is the case, all these teams, the best teams to buy your coaches from. So Bath have gone out and spent a lot of money on getting Blackadder and Madsen. What's his name? Tobias Madsen? I've completely confused everyone. Anyway, Tobias and Todd, right? They're there. I think, like, is this the best strategy? Because it's kind of like the Tom Coventry thing. Yeah, Tom Coventry was a assistant coach from a successful organisation. But is it the organisation that gives it the success rather than actual coaches themselves? Clearly, they've got a part to play. But maybe it's just ingrained in the structure of that organisation.
Well, the point about Blackadder is very interesting, because Blackadder was coach from...
8 years before this one.
Yeah, from shortly after they won their last one, which was in 2008, until shortly before they won this one, which is 2017. And they were unsuccessful. They had good seasons, but they never won
this
it.
Is kind of
they had Kieran Reid.
So this
they
is kind
Kieran
of
Reid,
like...
They had McCaw, they had Carter.
What, still some player, isn't he, Kieran Reid?
Yeah.
Oh, whoa, hold the back page. Kieran Reid's a great rugby player. Just thought I'd chuck him in there.
Cheers,
podcast.
Mate.
Good observation.
But I mean, this is kind of like the John Madden point that he always used to make when he wasn't... So John Madden, if you don't know, was the coach of the Oakland Raiders. And like when he wasn't winning, everyone said, oh, you must be under pressure because you're not winning the big one. He said, no, I'm not under pressure because I'm making the playoffs every year. The guys are under pressure, the guys that don't make the playoff, the guys that win, that lose 16 games a year, or however many games that they had back then. And I kind of think that is still the point, which is, you know, he might not have won, but as long as you're successful or get into the playoffs, that's sort of
well.
Good
your
enough.
Thoughts
or
about?
Am I wrong?
Well, okay. Well, then, why are your thoughts about Dean Ryan's time at Gloucester, the club we're going to come on to later, so kind of negative? Because
that's a really good point.
Because he was perennially like top of the league in regular season, and then didn't win the big games.
And I guess is that down more to the culture of Gloucester? I mean, Gloucester were one of the biggest spending teams back then. You got to remember, like. Every year they make a splash. Even with the cross code stuff. I mean, I think Leon Price was an absolutely massive signing. With
Leslie Vinicola. We can get onto that. Let's just box off the Super Rugby. Ryan Crotty, outstanding player. Just when like you have a, you sort of think Conrad Smith might be a once in a generation kind of talent.
Yeah.
I think that you got Crotty. They're just spoilt for players.
Well,
just
but
class.
It's not even that, is it? It's like. Conrad Smith is a once-in-generation talent. Oh, by the way, we've got Vince Orso and the other fella.
Lauramappy.
Oh, well, yeah, okay. So a three-time-in-a-generation talent.
We thought Fekitoa might be, but no, he's not quite made the grade, but we've got a few more who are. So just, I thought Crotty was awesome.
And don't worry, Sonny Bill's available again.
Yeah. Just briefly talk about the red card then. So all comfortable with it. So if you didn't see it, it was a high kick from Yantes and Quagga...
Quagga Smith,
the outside centre, went
seven.
Sorry.
Seven.
Quagga Smith,
seven.
The seven. Sorry.
Or is he number six?
No.
He wears seven.
All right. He's a back rower.
He's a blindside. They're seven and six the other way around. So anyway, the flanker, Quagga Smith, through, chasing the ball, and tried to slow up. Fullback jumped into the air, and collision landed on the back of his neck.
Now, just square this circle for me. And I know it is a red card through and through. We don't need to discuss that. With all this noise about head injuries, neck injuries, concussions, hitting your head onto the side of someone's thigh almost sounds like it's a punishable offence to the guy who owns the thigh.
In what situation?
So the guy goes up.
Yeah.
Right, and he is in the air. Quagga Smith never leaves the ground. Blah, blah, blah. We all know this is, you know, the red card's Quagga Smith. Quagga Smith gets the most almighty smack to the head from this guy's thigh. I'm thinking, Christ, I mean, that is a concussion case right there. He almost should be red carded. He almost should be red carded for endangering himself.
So Havili, as he goes up in the air, his thigh makes contact with Quagga Smith's head.
Yeah, but it's the only time you can really, really smack someone in the head legally.
Legally,
yeah.
You've got to make the most of it if you're a fullback.
Now, did the fullback... Here. Right, well, so here's the only thing I'll say, because I agree, letter of the law and safety, it was dangerous, landed on his head, the guy made contact and caused it. However, I do feel the fullback had no reason to jump.
Yeah, but it's not about
besides
that. Anymore,
not
is it?
Besides not getting besides not getting tackled.
Do you know why
there was no functional reason why he needed to jump?
Yeah, there is.
He waited very late. He jumped, and I mean the jump avoided getting smashed with the ball.
So I'll tell you why you jump.
What I'm saying is there any way that the law could be tinkered or the guidance could be tinkered so to disincentivize players to jump in that sort of scenario when they can just catch the ball?
No. There can be no variation on this law, I don't think, unless...
You're probably right. I'm...
So the reason being, right, is you always jump for the ball because if you don't see someone who's jumping against you, and they're in the air and you're not, and the collision happens, you're in a lot of trouble. So just jump anyway, because it eliminates you being in trouble, or it'll help at least. It's a mitigating circumstance.
But even taking the offences being taken out or taking someone out in the air, if it wasn't Quagga Smith at back row, if it was, say, the Lions fullback, and he's coming onto it at pace, and he jumps and Havili stays on his feet, if Havili doesn't take him out in the air... The Lions fullback jumps, catches the ball, and he's just under the post.
Yeah,
so you got to jump. Havili has to jump. Yeah, well,
there was no Lions player able to catch the ball. Yeah. But then you're right.
If Quagga Smith wasn't a back row and he was a fullback, and he was half a yard quicker.
Yeah, I'm with you.
He would have been there. Yeah. He would have jumped, catches the ball, and if Havili doesn't stop him,
as to borrow Phil's mantra, it's a coaching point. Yeah. Slow your run and follow the ball.
Yeah, what's better for Quagga Smith?
Absolutely.
If he was 2 yards back, Havili lands, and then Quagga Smith smashes him.
Yeah.
No Crusaders played around. He steals the ball or wins a penalty.
And they must practice that all the time. So,
yeah.
But so, you can remember our old friend Blake?
Yes.
Yeah.
episodes 1 to 6 of the podcast.
That many?
Yeah, it wasn't that many, was
maybe,
it?
Maybe episodes 1 to 5. 1 to 2. I don't know. our old friend Blake. He actually played at Wigan Warriors. He was he's a fine rugby league player. And he always used to be confused about why rugby union players are taught to catch in the breadbasket. Because in rugby league, you are, I'm not going to say that word, you're told off severely if you do that. You're meant to catch above your head as high as you can.
Like second rows at the kickoff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I wonder, like, when are they going to start actually coaching that full time? Because if... elevating for the ball is that important, and actually a clean win is so important, because if you get it wrong and you don't have that clean win of a high ball, you're actually risking a card or worse.
Yeah, well, we saw the Israel Folau try, one of his tries I think against Scotland, where he jumped fully over I think it was Greg Tonks at fullback, and was catching it at like the very apex of his leap above his head.
The zenith.
Yeah. That was incredible.
Yeah, and I think that's an NRL. NRL? AFL. Which is the Aussie football stuff.
Yeah, AFL.
That's an AFL thing.
Oh,
but
no,
also an NRL.
I mean, that is entertaining watching those guys. Yeah. And they anything goes with that. Now, quick question. Scott Robertson, Crusaders coach, is the first person to what?
So I know this.
Oh, it's got to be breakdance after a win. Well, I mean, if it's not that, I'm not interested.
No,
it's just a rugby final. We did it at the ITM Cup final.
Digby Ioane was breakdancing all over that trophy when he won it.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, he had a more impressive break. I think Digby Ioane is more impressive at breakdance. Actually, has he not won it a second time? Is he not with the Crusaders now?
He is with Digby Ioane is with the Crusaders, I'm sure.
Why wasn't he breakdancing with his coach? Why is it not a battle?
If you see, like, I have been known to dust off a worm every now and again at a wedding.
Have you? Are you?
I've never seen that.
But if I could break dance like Scott Robertson, I would do it all the time.
That,
you would, wouldn't
that
you?
That picture of
it's
him
awesome.
Is incredible.
It's so painfully New Zealand, though, isn't it?
But that's why it's brilliant.
Yeah.
Like, it's so Flight of the Conchords.
Could you imagine Richard Cockerell or Steve Diamond or Rob Baxter doing anything that's like even supposedly
John
cool
Kingston.
In any... John Kingston.
That's the one I want to see.
I'm trying to think, who's the most likely breakdancer of all the Premiership DORs?
Nick Kennedy?
Yeah, probably.
Just because he's a bit cooler, a bit younger.
There's nothing cool about breakdancing, though. I mean, there really isn't anything cool about breakdancing.
No, there's no. I can't imagine who would do it.
Die Young?
I'd love to see a dance-off between the Premiership coaches. Dai Young would do some robot body popping.
I'd imagine he would. don't know what Steve Diamond would do.
Dean Richards would do that awkward step to one side, step to the other side, like dads do at weddings.
I guess Steve Diamond from his time in Russia would do like that Russian dancing when you're on your heels.
Yes.
Before having 10 shots of vodka.
Yeah. Yeah, that's probably what he'd do.
Yeah. But the answer to the question, Phil?
Is the first person to win Super Rugby as both a player and a coach.
Correct.
Wow, that's a hell of a fact.
42. He is 42 years old.
Well done, Mr. Robinson. Well done, Crusaders. Well done, New Zealand Rugby. Well,
promoted
well
from within.
Yeah.
From their own ITM Cup team. Or is that Mitre Cup? What's the cup?
Same thing.
And so they've Todd Blackadder went off. They elevated from within and they brought back home Glenn Delaney into that position. It's just a nice...
Tell you what, it's exciting, isn't it?
It's a nice production line they've got going. I like what Canterbury Crusaders are about as a organisation.
I'd love to see Glenn Delaney go up to Crusaders coach. I'd love that.
Well, I'm sure it could happen one day.
I hope so. Fingers crossed.
So Super Rugby is done.
Yeah, it's over.
Back to the UK. Well, before we just look at one of the first of our clubs in the club close-ups, there's one other article that I saw which entertained me highly, and it was by Archie Hume.
Okay.
A. Hume, who are the hunting clothing specialists.
Okay.
Right.
Who did an article where ex-Scotland rugby coach Vern Cotter puts A. Hume's top country clothing through its paces on the hill. I didn't know this about Vern Cotter. He's a big-time hunter.
Is he?
Yeah.
I had no idea. Is that why they were killing rabbits then?
Yeah, there was that story about the Scotland team killing rabbits. That's what I remembered.
Oh, yeah.
I can't remember what actually happened there. That's the thing that popped into my head.
They killed some rabbits. I think that's about it.
Were they shooting rabbits or were they?
I think they had some murdering with their hands. Nice. I don't know. It doesn't matter that much. Go on.
It's just quite funny. Like this is what some people get up to in their off season. Vern Cotter went out hunting and was talking. The jacket felt light and mobile, allowing me to move unrestricted over the rough terrain. The hood was great. Not all are. The high collar kept my neck warm. I could move easily in the trousers too, plus the high cut at the back keeps out the cold when you're on the move. The watertight cuffs were very effective at stopping
water
ingress up the arms and legs. I stayed warm and dry all day, even when crawling on damp ground. So Vern Cotter has spent his summer crawling around hunting.
Where has he been hunting,
he
I wonder?
Must be in New Zealand.
And what's he been hunting?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds perfectly reasonable, doesn't it? Until he realised he was hunting in central Glasgow.
Yeah.
Saturday night, 2 a.m.
The ultimate prey.
Humans. Brilliant.
That story caught my eye. So where do you want to start first? We've got Ospreys and Gloucester. Which one do you want to go for first?
Let's get Ospreys out the way, I'd say.
Out the way. Well, yeah, shall we do Ospreys first then?
Yeah.
I think Ospreys first. I'm excited. Yeah. On Welsh rugby, the Welsh version of the Neymar saga came to a conclusion with Lee Halfpenny signing for Scarlets.
Yes.
The Neymar saga, if Neymar was out of contract and due to take a massive pay cut.
If he's been forced into taking a massive... Yeah. Nobody wants him.
Neymar, if he's forced to downsize his house.
it's good for Scarlets. They've lost Liam Williams, they've got Lee Halfpenny. That's decent.
Cracking signing. And I think the main winners from this are probably Scarlets. I'd love to know what he signed for in the end, because there was so much hoo-ha about how much he's on, how big his wages are. Something's had to give, and I imagine it's not Scarlets.
Yeah, it's interesting. I would love to know how much he signed for, because we know he was on €600,000. He's not worth that to anyone in UK and Ireland.
Nope.
So, be interesting to see.
I wonder how much... Interesting. It's good for Welsh rugby, I guess, get one of the Premier players back. It'd be good to see him in a Scarlets jersey. There's some players that you can't imagine what they look like in certain jerseys. And Lee Halfpenny in a Scarlets jersey just seems a mesh, because he was at Cardiff for so long and then...
But we've seen him in lots of red jerseys. We've got a good idea.
Maybe.
It's good... Anything that gets Steph Evans more attacking ball has
got
to be...
Does it get Steph Evans more attacking ball?
Well, he has to defend less because Halfpenny's doing all the defending.
Yep.
This is true.
So
they're very similar.
They've lost DTH, though. That would have been handy.
DTH is a good player. Mm. And losing Liam Williams is obviously massive.
We need a Scarlets review, by the way. So if you're a Scarlets fan, give us the lowdown on your team and email us contacteggchasers@gmail.com, which is precisely what, and check this out for a fine Welsh name, Dylan Pugh has done.
Good lad, Dylan.
Good lad, Dylan.
Dylan says he's an Ospreys fan and he has the same nervous apprehension with pre-season almost upon us as he's had every year for the past 5 or 6. Is this the season we kick on, or will we continue to show real quality in flashes but ultimately end up being best of the rest? Last season started really well, and we have a good, solid, young coaching team. He highlights the word young, underlined, led by Steve Tandy, who was unfairly vilified for by some of the fans, but I think for periods of last year he really got us playing well. You aware of Steve Tandy?
I am. I think he used to be a flanker for... Neath back in the day, or at least for Ospreys. Mm. He did get a lot of stick last year. I can confirm that, but I don't know much about his coaching style or what he does.
We haven't signed a crazy amount of players, says Dylan, but getting guys like Corey Allen, or should that be British and Irish Lion Corey Allen?
Corey Hill.
Corey Hill. Corey Hill. Oh, my mistake. Yeah. He showed up well in the summer tour for Wales and could make part of a really exciting back line. Getting Owen Watkin back from injury in the centre is a big plus. An incredibly talented young 12, strong runner, great distributor, and built like the proverbial. Mm-hmm. The team looks well stocked in the backs. Up front is where the Scarlets' problems lie, according to Dylan. Second rows, apart from the ever magnificent Alan Wynn, are inexperienced but promising, while the back row has a good mix of youth and experience. Still gutted about losing Underhill.
I can see
that. It was always going to happen, wasn't it? We'll get onto the England wider training squad, of which Underhill is part. Yep. Front rows are severely lacking. When Nicky Smith and Scott Butt... I mean, it's just Wales, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's just Wales.
Well, two-thirds of it.
Front rows are severely lacking. When Nicky Smith and Scott Baldwin make up two-thirds of your first-choice front row, you're never going to win too many battles.
Well, they've got Big Brian, though.
Yeah. The backups are not particularly strong either, especially Brian Majati, who showed exactly how much one man can flatter to deceive. What's happened to Mooj?
No, nothing's happened to Mooj. Mooj is the Mooj. I mean, Mooj is 28th favourite thing to do in the world is rugby. You know,
yeah,
that's what, you know, everything else comes before it. He happens to be good enough at it when taking it very, very unseriously to be a professional.
Yeah,
does that make sense? Like
him and Tonga Weir for Northampton seems like a long amazing time ago, doesn't it?
Doesn't it just when they were carrying? You know, they were absolute demons, but you know he's into drones, he's into beer, he's into YouTubing.
Yeah,
he's into barbecuing. He's into all sorts.
Heavy barbecuing, heavy gym, heavy beer drinking.
Yeah,
the gym is normally pretty good, but combine that, it's bodybuilding gym.
It's bodybuilding though.
With
it's not
with drinking beer and drone flying and barbecuing.
Yeah,
smoking meat.
He has a great lesson. Like bearing in mind, he likes eating, likes making, he and drinking beer as well as being a professional athlete. He has a great rule, which is a really good one to go by. He says, when he walks into a restaurant on his like cheat day, the second he opens the door, there are no rules, and he just absolutely canes it. But then, as soon as he walks back out, he's a professional rugby player again. It's quite a good way of, approaching it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he just happens to be good enough at professional rugby to be a professional rugby player, even though he's not into it. So, you know, more power to him. I think it's awesome.
So Dylan concludes, overall, I think Ospreys can finish in the top four and have another crack at the playoffs. We just never seem to really push on when there's any pressure on the team. Not sure if this is down to a lack of experience in the players or the coaches or both. We've got guys like Dan Bigger and Alan Wynne-Jones. That shouldn't really be the case.
Yeah. No.
But it's something that really let us down last year when we cocked up what should have been an easy enough Challenge Cup quarterfinal and lost our heads at the end of the season proper when we got trounced by the Blues and Scarlets. Champions Cup group looks impossible with Saracens and Claremont, so I think an honourable third place in the group would be the best we could really hope for.
Honourable third place? Is that what they want? Honourable third place?
Saracens and Claremont. I mean,
how
do you end up with those two? The finalists last year in a single group.
And how do you approach that? You still give it a good crack, don't you? Like the
you
home
have
games,
to,
just
but
give it a crack. For
you have to be realistic.
And who's the fourth team? Does it say?
No, not in this.
Oh, okay.
It doesn't matter, does it?
No, not overly. Leinster.
So, yeah, I think Ospreys are one of those. They were always the kind of power. They had that period of just being the powerhouse team.
Yeah, they were the only team in Wales with any money for a long time. They had basically a team stacked full of Welsh internationals. The funny thing about the Welsh clubs is no matter how many names they have, it doesn't seem to make a difference to how good they are. I'll give you an example. Cardiff Blues showed up to Exeter Chiefs maybe 3 years ago now with five British and Irish Lions and got hammered by about 30 points. Mm. I mean, the Ospreys seems to have been playing at this for a long time now. They've got a ton of Welsh internationals. Not just, you know, okay Welsh internationals, has been. Like, guys at the top of their game. Alan Wynne-Jones, Dan Bigger. You know, those front rowers that you read out. Real quality guys. For whatever it is, it's just, you know, do you know the way we were speaking about the Crusaders as a winning, you know, as a winning identity? Well, Ospreys don't have that. They just simply don't. Having said that, I think, are they the second or third most successful team in the Pro 12? I think they've won it like three or four times.
They may well be, but
not recently.
No. It's interesting. So they snuck into the top four last year. They then lost to Munster, away at Munster, unsurprisingly. And you kind of feel like if they can get into top four again, that's probably a measure of success based on their squad.
Do you not think they should be dominating?
Well, you actually look... So I'm reading through the squad at the moment. There are a few big names in there. It doesn't feel like a powerhouse squad.
So this is my problem with it. Okay, so they have the pick of the Welsh players coming through. There's four regions in Wales. Everyone in Wales plays rugby at some level. And if you transplant the Welsh players with Irish players, you look at Munster, you look at through their squad, you don't see the absolute powerhouse names that you see for the Ospreys. Or if you do, they're about one for one.
I'd say, it's probably one for one.
But the difference is, for Munster, they're backup players, and same with Leinster, and same with all these teams that are doing well in the Pro 12. When they bring the backups in, the team almost gets stronger because of the competition. Now, that is like a cultural thing.
Yeah.
You know, that isn't because the Ospreys have access to terrible players. It's because the Ospreys aren't using them particularly well.
Yeah.
You know, they're relying on star power. You look at Munster and Leinster. They've got depth, but not depth through names. Depth through actual, you know, lads that they've bought through the system.
So one of the interesting things that I think will have an impact on Ospreys, and possibly a positive impact on Ospreys, is so they brought in James Hook as probably an auxiliary fly half / utility back.
Mm-hmm.
What's happening with Dan Bigger?
Well, Dan Bigger's going to be here this year, allegedly.
Is
next
Sam
year.
Davies as well?
Yeah. So the point I'm trying to make is you've got Dan Bigger and Sam Davies. If Dan Bigger goes, it creates room for Sam Davies to potentially flourish with then, obviously, Hook as his understudy backup. No, understudy is the wrong word. Backup if something goes wrong.
Well, what is Hook now? 32?
33, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's 34. Basically running down his contract now, like his last contract.
It's more about the real thing is, can you get the most out of Davies?
Yeah.
Are you currently getting the most out of Bigger? Does Bigger moving to Northampton or someone else allow Sam Davies and Reece Webb to form a proper halfback partnership that's going to last a long time?
Yeah, I think that's fair. Just going back to the Hook one, this is a weird move for me because I understand going back to Wales if you're desperate to play for Wales. And maybe James Hook is, and maybe I shouldn't just write him off. But he's not been involved with Wales for a long time. He's a seasoned international. He's got some Lions caps, etc., etc., etc. I can't imagine the best deal he's going to get is at the Ospreys. And I can't imagine he's gone to the Ospreys because he thinks that he's got a shot at Wales.
Maybe it's just being home.
Maybe it's just going home.
Yeah. You want to see out your last contract where you want to.
And if you're a Welsh region and you need a bit of squad depth, what actually it's better than going for a
Kiwi or whatever.
South Ospreys can probably offer him slightly below his market value because he wants.
Sorry, mate, you're wrong there. Deemed to be market value.
They can offer him slightly less. So, numbers out of the air. 200k from Ospreys is slightly more attractive than 240k from Beer Ritz or Vaon.
Yeah, whoever the team is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe.
Thank you very much, Dylan Pugh, for your write-up on Ospreys. We've got one from Gloucester coming up in a little bit. However, just circling back to Super Rugby for a second, do you know another question for you? What's the nickname of the winning Crusaders coach, Scott Robinson?
Is it Razor?
It is Razor.
Yes.
Razor Robinson.
I only remember, do you know why I remember that? I remember it because it was mentioned in a game when the All Blacks went to... They played at River Plate Stadium against Argentina, and it was on like 12 at night. It might even be later than that. And I just remember him referring continuously to Scott, to Razor Robinson. And at the time, the number 8 was also a Robinson. So these are like as a differentiator between the two Robinsons. So they just Robinson. Called him like Razor throughout the entire game.
Well, I think having won the Super Rugby Championship, Scott Robertson can treat himself to the best razor he can get.
Stop it, Tim. That's such a smooth transition.
Cornerstone, there are some other pretenders that have seen the wonderful work Cornerstone have done and are trying to replicate it. Just like the Egg Chasers podcast, we have people that see what we're doing, try and replicate it. Cornerstone are proving they are the original and best, just like we are the original and best podcast. It's a match made in heaven that we can offer you an amazing deal on a Cornerstone razor. GQ Awards, when they had their awards, of the ones they considered, they voted Cornerstone the best in class in that particular year. On the BBC show, the ones that they tested, it came out best in class on the TV show, Shot Well for Less. We love it. And we recommend it to you. And what's more, it's only £4.
Amazing.
To give it a crack. £4 to get your free, beautiful aluminium shaft engraved with your initials and half a dozen razors delivered to you in a Cornerstone presentation box. Makes a perfect gift for someone as well. Just go to cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers, cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers, or...
Egg10 at checkout.
There you go.
Well, you just said replicate that. Try and replicate this, because I don't know if I mentioned... Talk actually, but
was that a synthetic bell or that was a real bell?
That was real.
That was JB's actual bell.
So here we go. I'm going to play you this clip. This clip was shot live on location.
Wow,
with Talk H Rugby Club. If anyone can better this for a best song, I'm going to be fairly amazed.
This is a song on the bus on the way back from Kenilworth.
Yep, from our pre-season. So here we go.
Get out of the aisle.
Oh,
love in Italy, they play the concertina. Papa Piccolino, Papa Piccolino.
That is quite excellent,
yes.
Isn't it?
That who is that? Who is that man?
That is one of our tight head props.
That is outstanding. Is he? Does he sing at all professionally in any capacity?
No.
Or so?
So he's got a couple of claims to fame. Apparently his granddad set up Manchester United or something like that. That's one of his claims to fame. In fact, thinking back about it, it's probably his only claim to fame. But a hell of a voice.
Well, it was his only claim to fame.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now he's got
He's got one of his own.
Only name is Tango, but there you go.
I loved it.
It's cool, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think this should spark a whole thing for the new season coming up.
Oh yeah, I want to hear
hashtag bus songs.
Yeah, 100%, mate, 100%.
We've all got mobile phones. We've all got professional sounding recording equipment in our hands right now. You might be listening to this Egg Chasers podcast on one. So when you are on a team bus back from an away trip or on a tour or in the clubhouse, capture the rugby songs and send it into us.
Didn't you do power ballads for Manchester?
Oh, yeah. So I used to be in charge of the tunes. We love the power ballads. 80s power ballads on the way back from away games, all the way.
What were your songs, Phil? Or did Sedgley Park all
I used to love it. I don't know whether Sedgley Park did the same thing, but Manchester Rugby Club, when you used to go on long away trips, just really stamping, because the Manchester music's so good, just turning up in the
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The away clubhouse and whacking on Oasis.
Yeah.
And stuff like that, really loud. You're sort of like Manchester's ear, just so you know.
Yeah, bit of everything. There was always the first song on a bus, first song on an away trip, after... sing your song. Usual, fairly standard
so
stuff.
I think I mentioned this. The bus driver that we had, you'd have thought, he had got an operatic style singer in the back of the bus singing away. We'd appreciate it. There is a concentration camp somewhere missing a guard because he was driving our bus. at the services, right? This is quite unbelievable. The driver pulled me to one side. And said to me, if you continue standing in the aisle and singing, I'll be dropping you off. I'll be dropping you off at the next services.
He knew he was picking up a rugby team.
Yeah. I mean, I obviously posed a question to him. How do you think this is going to go for you? Which is going to be overwhelmingly negative. So yeah. The threat was, if he carried on singing and standing in the aisle, he would remove us from the bus on the next services.
That's like... That's like that own goal you sometimes hear parents do when they say to their kids when it gets near Christmas, be good or Santa won't come.
Yeah.
Come on.
Well, yeah.
You're not going to follow through on this, are you?
No.
And that fella's not going to turf out 30...
Yeah, so,
well-educated gentleman from South Manchester.
So as soon as someone stood up in the aisle, he would slam on the brakes on the motorway and they would go flying forward. Which I thought was insane as he's talking about health and safety. And if you listen to that clip again, you'll notice at the start of it, we were all shouting, get out of the aisle! Get out of the aisle! Every time someone got on the aisle, we went crazy. Get out of the aisle! Get out of the aisle! He had a miserable trip back. What an idiot.
I would have thought it would have been quite a good crack having being a bus driver. All the bus drivers I remember always had a good old crack and they always had a nice healthy tip jar at the end.
Well, the thing is, we tipped him at the start. We gave him a nice healthy tip at the start and after that, he just turned into little Hitler. You know, you give a small person a bit of power and before you know it, away they go. So, yeah. Good trip, terrible bus driver.
Right, quickly, England wider training squads.
Yeah,
they've met up for a couple of weekends. The guys that were on Lions duty had the choice to take continued holiday, which 7 of them did, or just turn up for one day, which another 6, I think.
Yeah.
The stories out of this are the big one: the return of Manu.
Oh, I hope he's okay.
It's upon us.
It makes me nervous.
I know. I just keep thinking, oh, great. That means it's 4 weeks till his next injury.
Yeah.
Oh, please be everything that we hope you can be.
Yeah.
And it's not like Eddie Jones was kind of taking it easy. He was saying Manu is the only person he's seen who can tear apart New Zealand. Mm. Have you seen that interview?
Yes, no.
He's like showering him with praise, which was true of Manu 2012.
Yeah.
So 5 years ago.
But also, what does it do for your centres when Manu's not there and you're in New Zealand?
Yeah. And you're putting a whole load of pressure onto someone who does not need any more pressure.
Well, you know, I'm not sure. Thing is, right, if he was like a mentally fragile guy, and his, you know, the biggest knock on him is, oh, he can tear apart New Zealand, but too often he bottles it. I would say this is completely reckless by Eddie Jones.
Right.
But that's not really the case with Manu.
No, that's fair.
He's just a physical monster.
Yeah. But also a physical wreck at the same time.
Yeah, so my biggest concern with him is, like, how rusty do you get? I mean, like, even the transition for like, you know, I'm there at training, say, twice a week, in transition from, say, playing to coaching. If you don't play twice a week and you're not handling a ball and you're in game situations and all that, your skills deteriorate rapidly.
Yeah,
really rapidly. He's had like, what, 2 years out of the game?
Longer than that, between properly playing.
Yeah,
he's played a handful of games in the last 3 years.
I need to look it up, but you know, when's the last time he had 5 consecutive games?
Yeah,
it's been a long time. So, and. Undoubtedly an amazing player when he's fit. I just hope he can be, as you say, Tim, what we hope he can be.
I really hope so.
So, fingers crossed for Manu. What else, or who else, is in this squad?
Okay, so who else is in the squad? Well, there is an 18-year-old fly half from Quinns, Marcus Smith.
Yeah.
First-year academy player. He did feature in the training squad previously at one point, when there was a huge, big... They took him along for a bit of experience.
Okay.
But they're exposing him to a bit more experience. Born in 1999.
What?
He was born in 1999.
Jesus. So this is the chap that... So
a year before the Millennium Dome was born.
This was the chap that Eddie Jones said when he was in Brighton in 2015. Obviously, that was a time when Japan beat South Africa in Brighton. He saw him training with Brighton School as a 15-year-old and thought he liked the look of this player. And he's now progressed onto Harlequin's Academy. So he thought, well, I like the look of him 3 years ago as a 15-year-old. I'll bring him back to play with the big boys.
I mean, this can't be right, man. This can't be how he...
It seems like an unusual step to take. But in Eddie we trust. He knows what he's doing.
Absolutely. On this particular England squad, he's chosen Tom Curry, but no Ben Curry.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting.
Hang on, which one did he start in Argentina?
Tom Curry. So he wanted to start Ben Curry... Was it the Barbars game?
Okay.
But Ben Curry had a back spasm, so Tom Curry played really well, and then Tom Curry started in the first game.
But I think I know what's going on here. I think Eddie has got a cunning plan. If he picks them both in the squads, then it's a bit more difficult. But if he just picks one of them, he can have them playing 80 minutes, but playing 40 minutes each.
Very clever. Mind you, you could do that with both of them in the squad, because... hang on.
Yeah, but if one of them picks up a shiner in the first half.
Hang on.
Oh, they might have to have a makeup artist in case one of them. Yeah,
you could just punch the other one in the face, couldn't you? Keep in the back of the hammering. I mean, I watch Sale occasionally.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not even sure which one's the better one. I have no idea.
Zero idea. 1A, 1B. I can't tell the difference. Mm.
Dan Robson not being selected. It looks like Jack Maunder has leapfrogged him.
Interesting set of
scrums. No, that's wrong. Richard Wigglesworth is back, which you'll be very happy about.
Wiggy is
back. Oh, awesome.
So you've got Kerr and...
Kerr Maunder, Wigglesworth and Youngs.
So Kerr and Youngs, 1-2.
Yeah.
Then it looks like Wigglesworth, 3, and Maunder is the young guy, Dan Robson...
Feeling about Dan Robson is my same feeling about Alex Goode. I'm not saying Dan Robson's the most talented rugby player in the UK like Alex Goode is, but what I am saying is I just think it's a wrong time, wrong place kind of thing for him. Incredibly talented player, very good player, but I just think they've got the established guys, and unless the established guys go down, that's who he needs to replace. He doesn't have a place in that squad as, you know.
I still think Wigglesworth will be young enough and good enough. He'll be 35 come the World Cup, 35 or 36. But that's still perfectly... It's plenty experienced, but it's a different option, and we have been talking about
option
at nine.
Athletically brilliant.
Oh, the way Wigglesworth plays.
To be as good as Wigglesworth. I mean, Wigglesworth is a quality player at what he does.
Tactically masterful.
This is my... Another point is, like, I don't know why halfbacks aren't getting older. I mean, the biggest advantage you can have as a halfback is your intelligence.
Experience,
I mean, I'm pretty sure if we
Strings
rolled out...
Strings is back with Worcester.
Yeah.
Awesome signing.
Dan Carter's got another 2 years left at Racing.
hang on, is that an extension or is that like this is the end?
No,
of his
he signed
first
a,
of 3 years.
He signed a 3-year deal. Yeah,
yeah. Living the life a little bit too much, some might say in Paris.
Yeah. What else have you clocked in that England squad? I'm not sure there's really much else to.
Just the only other thing was the balance of the squad didn't quite.
Is Tom
feel
Dunn
like
it? Tom Dunn's another one of the youngsters in. So it looks like Maunder, Tom Dunn, maybe a couple of other forwards, Sam Underhill, Curry. There's got a lot of the young guys that were involved in the Argentina tour.
Tell you what,
have been retained.
If Eddie's got this right, and these guys coming up are gonna be as good as we think they are, get them blooded early. It just is so. Yeah, you know, whether it's going to be too early for the World Cup.
Yeah, I'm not so sure how many of them will make it come the World Cup. But should there be an injury or two, having them ready to go next cab off the rank.
And also understanding the calls, the way that the team plays.
Because he seems to be skipping a lot of players, don't they, to get to these lads?
Well, I'd love to. I mean, if I'd have done my research, I would have looked at it. But he's had a lot of players in training camp, and then there's been quite a lot of players that have come in and then never been seen again. So he has a good look at them, and he makes up his mind pretty quickly.
One of the interesting things, so the balance of the squad, it obviously is just a training squad, it's not a game squad, but you've got one loose head prop in there, you've got four hookers, so that balance isn't right.
Nope.
Three tight head props, then four second rows.
Who are the tight head props out of interest?
Dan Cole, one day, The Sink, a couple of days, Harry Williams.
Okay.
But the interesting thing, there are five 12s. If you count Owen Farrell as a 12, which is where he's played him.
Okay.
You've then got, and they're all the same type of 12. It's everyone in the country who can do this apart from Devoto, it feels like. So, Owen Farrell, Piers Francis, Alex Lazowski, Harry Malander, Henry Slade.
Hang on a minute. Those are not all 12s, but in anyone's books. Are they 12?
Where has Eddie Jones played them?
12. But they're not 12. I mean, you ask that, they're directors of rugby. Those boys, so Harry Malander obviously is.
This sounds like a battle for that spot, and it sounds like he wants direct backups for those two guys.
Yeah, that's exactly what
it sounds
like.
He's given up on 12, so that's what it sounds like to me.
You know, he does also have Manu in the squad.
He plays 13.
Yeah, Manu has played a lot of 13.
Manu and BBT 13s.
Yeah.
You got, and then JJ and Daly.
And Joe Marchant.
And Joe Marchant.
Do you know JJ's brother looks identical to him and he's now at London Irish?
Oh, he probably was always at London Irish.
No. He's just signed because he's very, very young.
Oh, is he?
Very
like
young.
Like an 18-year-old or something.
Maybe 16.
Wow.
It looks identical to Jonathan Joseph.
Oh. But yeah, it's just, to me, that looks like, you're right, they're not. All of those players can play 10. They play a little, like Slade has played a little bit at 13. Malander's played a bit of fullback. But from the way that Jones is setting up his squad, the way that they've been brought in and the way they've played in Argentina, it looks like they are all kind of lining up to be the backup 12.
Did Malander go on the Argentina tour?
Yeah.
I think he went on the tour. I don't think he played in the games.
Because
it was Piers Francis, Lazowski and Slade.
Because I think he's going to be the world's best 12. I mean, I think he's amazing.
He's a very talented boy.
He's very talented.
He's still young and he needs to get the right experience to make the most of that talent, which is very interesting.
Too talented to be any good. PSB syndrome.
Yeah. Yeah. He's got a lot of the attributes to be too talented to be very good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, England squad.
So that's the England squad. We'll see how that gets trimmed down. But again, just Eddie Jones has got an incredibly gifted bunch of players to mould ahead of 2019. Very exciting times.
Mm.
Yeah.
So what's left?
You've got Gloucester.
Gloucester.
You've got Johnny May.
Johnny
May and Gloucester is confirmed one and the same. So. Yeah.
If you want to hear more about that, listen to us last week, because I think we did quite a lot of chat about Johnny May.
Yes, we did.
More chat about Johnny May than I like giving, actually.
So that is confirmed. Johnny May to Leicester from Gloucester. Ed Slater in the opposite direction.
Is that confirmed as well?
I'm not sure if that is actually. I think that's been speculated, heavily speculated.
The word is that Sale came in with a late offer to try and steal Ed Slater. To the AJ Bell Stadium.
Ooh,
but interesting. I think they're unsuccessful. But then we thought Lee Halfpenny was heading to Cardiff and then he ended up going to Scarlet, so.
Yeah, and also, why would Leicester do that? Because if Leicester do that, presumably they can't get Johnny May. No, I don't think they're two separate deals.
I think they're two separate deals.
Yeah.
There may be a... If you imagine they're two separate deals, just happen to be going in opposite directions.
But that the separate deal thing is interesting because Johnny May wasn't out of contract. So no. You've got to
pay...
You've got to pay a sum. Yeah. So Ed Slater is some collateral towards that sum.
Yes.
But hey, if you pay the sum, it doesn't matter.
Interesting stuff.
So before we get into Gloucester, Tom Hudson, one of their players, has come out and given an interesting interview for his own club's website. And a quote from it caught our attention this week. Tom Hudson, Academy Centre, says of Johan Ackerman, Johan has come in as our new head coach, and he's explained he wants us to leave our DNA everywhere we go. Whether that's the fans, whether it's in your analysis, whether it's on the field, you leave your DNA everywhere. We thought it was Gloucester's Academy House.
Yeah.
With their super fast Wi-Fi.
We thought
it was Worcester's super fast Wi-Fi
relaxation
house.
Rooms.
The relaxation rooms with the super fast Wi-Fi where this shenanigans was going on. But Johan Ackerman is adamant. He wants his rugby players in a highly relaxed and focused state.
No idea what this means.
Interesting turn of phrase that, because I've never heard that other than like a crime scene.
But actually, I've never heard. Do not leave your DNA everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
That's the opposite.
Exactly.
Anyway. I guess, what is he actually asking? He's basically asking, try and build some team, some sort of culture or something, isn't it?
I think he just wants to say, give it 100%. You know, like he said at half time before Lions came back against...
Oh, yeah, magic words to help them win the semi-final.
Yeah, yeah. Nil-nil. Give it 100%. Up your intensity.
Will do, boss.
Rags on Twitter got in touch with us at Rugby Podcast and... sent us a picture of Gloucester's new kit. I can't tell if this is just a bit of Photoshop work.
or can you tell, Timothy? Oh, I don't know.
New sponsor. On this picture that Rags has sent us, the new sponsor is Kleenex.
Fancy that.
Is that a long-term deal?
I've no idea.
Well, fancy that.
Obviously for as long as Johan Ackerman is there. So we have been contacted by... Gloucester fan, which I'm just getting it up right now. That's what Johan Ackerman wants. Oh, I've lost it. There's so many amazing club previews. Here we go. Joseph Smith, who said he split this into good and bad.
Okay.
Saying, God only knows what can happen at our club in between now and the start of the season. But I'm giving you this review now, so here goes. Good. Johan Ackerman. No one can deny the epic job he's done at the Lions. Absolutely. He says the amount of times he's witnessed the final 20-minute capitulations last year. Quinn's at King's Home in March, anyone? Hopefully bringing Ackerman in will up everyone's game and commitment levels.
Mm-hmm.
He wants the attitude, the grit and the hard work.
To be fair, it might not happen immediately. But I think he's exactly right there. I think Ackerman is 100% the right person just to push him that little bit. I mean, so many of their losses were, like he says, those last 20 minutes, there was hardly anything in it.
Top 2 inches.
I think they've got exactly the man they need.
The young lads is the next point, the second of 3 points that's made here. It may have only been a plate victory in the sevens, but our young lads perform consistently well, whether for Hartbury, who won National 1 at a canter last season and are in the Championship now, or being picked and playing well for the international age groups, Harry Randall, Ben Vallecott and Mason Tonks, to name but three. The future does look bright and we do promote well from the academy, even when we do wrongly let them go in the long run. Cough, Dan Robson, cough. They've always had a really good production line.
Yep.
For Gloucester.
Yeah,
more so in the backs. Well, no, they've had a lot of them, but the ones that really stand out in your mind are always backs.
Do you know what stands out for me about Gloucester? Probably unfairly, wasted talent
yeah.
that kind of doesn't that don't fulfil their potential. You only got Trinder, who is a magnificent player, but horrible injuries.
Yeah, I feel that's the injuries more than anything.
Yeah, and that's what I think of when I think of Gloucester. One of my favourite ever players, or potential to be, James Forrester, another one of them.
Yeah.
You had the fullback, who was that fella? You'll remember who he is, because in the Telegraph, when it mentioned us, it had a picture of him.
Morgan.
Ollie Morgan.
Ollie Morgan.
Yeah, and you look at Gloucester's history, it just feels
James
like...
James Simpson Daniel.
Yeah. Well, actually, no, he had a pretty long career, actually.
He fulfilled his talent, his potential for Gloucester, but never for England. Probably not due to his...
They've got everything, haven't they? They've got the identity. They've got the fan... They've got probably the best fans in the entire Premiership.
Yeah, great fan base.
You know, the history. They've got the money. I've actually interviewed... the CEO, who
Stephen Vaughan,
who seems like a really, really good guy. They've got everything except for luck. I think that's the thing they've missed the most. They always seem a little bit unlucky.
The final point in the goods column that's given here: back row and backs. Ben Morgan, Ross Moriarty, Lewis Ludlow are as strong and powerful any back row.
Ludlow, class.
And in the backs, we seem to have added strength in depth. Owen Williams brings another kicking options for when Billy Burns inevitably tackles with his head. Tom Marshall at 15 was banging form for most of last season. With Woodward arguably one of the best 15s in the Avicii last term.
So God, that's a good signing.
Cover Sharples and May.
So Woodward almost feels like an unnecessary signing. Because Woodward and Tom Marshall, they feel like 1A and 1B.
Who would you move to wing out of those two? Or would you not?
Well, I'd almost want to move Woodward to kind of 13. But then you've got someone who's also very similar, Matt Scott, who's a very talented player.
Yeah, they've got options galore, haven't they? Because you've got Trindy, so you've got Matt Scott. I tell you what, very good at 12.
You'll probably end up moving Woodward to the wing and play Halifanua or Sharples alongside him.
Yeah.
But then,
I'd move Marshall to the wing personally.
I think
Woodward could be fantasy rugby draft dynamite
if he's kicking as well.
He's a midfielder, imagine first pick of the draft.
If he gets stuck on the wing and he gets no ball,
disaster.
Yeah.
So the bad, and this maybe is sort of test the mentality of a Gloucester fan. 3 good points. 5 bad points. Bad mentality. On paper, a fantastic squad. I'm going to question that. I don't think on paper it is a fantastic squad.
I don't know.
Fantastic. I was looking at that areas. Squad and thinking there's big holes.
Yeah, there's good areas. Like, but you said, back row, most of the backs are pretty good. The back line.
The backs are great, actually.
They can get a very good
I think Owen Williams is very, very competent, a good, solid Premiership player. I don't think he's top notch.
Well, I think he'll be second choice.
Yeah, I think sure he's starting.
I think Billy Burns will be starting.
Billy Burns.
And Billy Burns has some very good strengths and a few pretty large weaknesses.
If you're ahead and you're worried about the last 20 minutes falling to pieces, wouldn't Owen Williams be a great guy to bring
much
on?
Much better option than James Hook.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
James Hook is a guy you want to bring on if you're chasing a game.
Yeah, and that's what he talks about, the performance cliff edge and Gloucester just falling off and running out of steam in the last 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And again, as has already said, hoping that Ackerman's arrival rectifies that. Club loyalties is a bad. Darren Davidic, 8 years at Gloucester, finding out he'd be leaving when he was announced in the departure list and an end-of-season dinner. Now, again, this is just
poor.
If true, I can't confirm or deny what Joseph Smith has written there. But
I think it might be true, because I was quite shocked to see him just show up at London Irish.
Yeah.
They've got a good player there.
They have got a very good player. Not the way to treat hard-working players and send the wrong messages out to the fans. Yeah, you can always treat people in the right way, even if you let people go. It's not show friends, it's show business. It's the other way, so there's never a good way to... But, well, no, there is a better way to let someone go.
End of season dinner isn't the way to do it, and that's that.
There's an interesting story around Jeb Sinclair. I'm sure there's stuff to come out there, but he's been let go by London Irish.
Has he?
Sort of said at the end of a kind of... It sounds like there was an HR process going on from what Jeb Sinclair has said, but I don't know. I don't... I'd be interested to hear more about that. But I'm sure that one will...
Where's my phone?
I'll make my phone. So, next bad point. Loyal fans being stung. A 90% increase in tickets over the last 5 years. Incidentally, it can now cost £42 to stand in the shed this season, and despite getting the Ferns money and two new sponsorship deal. The fact that the historic shed will be sponsored this season has also not gone down well, as you can imagine. The Green King shed. Fans cannot commit to a season ticket. Who cannot commit to a season ticket are being penalised with up to 20% increases on tickets compared to last season, yet the chairman says they are fair. £42 to stand in the shed sounds steep.
Do you know...
It does.
Rugby prices are quite expensive, actually.
Yeah.
So, like, if you want to go
point out, there's nothing else to do in the shed but stand, and the shed is where proper Gloucester fans want to be.
Yeah, I guess if you've got to see... You know, if you want to be in the shed, buy a season ticket. And if you're a day tripper... Good.
You're gonna, yeah.
Pay for it.
Yeah, maybe.
Actually,
I can see why it sticks in the throat a little bit.
Yeah, I can see that.
I don't know. But it depends how full it is.
Yeah, if they fill it out every game.
But I always think it's ridiculous. Fine. When I say like £25 for a ticket. No thanks.
Hashtag announce X. I don't. We've added a couple to the squad, but the feeling amongst fans is that we haven't done enough in the market. The whole Carl Ferns saga did not help one jot in terms of planning. But it seems none of this money has been reinvested in the squad, which was promised at the time of the compensation deal. Okay. Maybe it's too late, but I'm being unfair. But some fans renewed on the hope of seeing that back row.
So
that back row would have been awesome.
Amazing. No two ways about it. In defence of Gloucester, he's nailed it. It is too late. Second of all, you've got this pot of gold. Do not squander it on ex-pros. Oh, sorry, not ex-pros. That is a completely wrong phrase. Don't squander it on season pros. Use it to bring through more kids. Give up more academy contracts. Because although everyone loves the big splash, that isn't where teams are built. You build through your academy and bring in through young guys. You don't want to go and spend that money for the sake of it. And the other thing as well is, it's a terrible business decision. When the guy that you're buying off knows you've had a huge amount of money from Carl Ferns. Phil. How would you treat that?
Yes. It would increase my aspiration out of the deal.
Exactly. Hey Phil, I want to replace Carl Ferns. I think he's worth approximately XYZ because that's how much that we've been paid for him. How much would he sell you on the break for?
XYZ plus a little bit more.
Exactly.
That's my starting point. Maybe concede it to XYZ. Yeah.
So I have got complete sympathy for Gloucester there, and I think their business process has been spot on.
I do have concerns when I look at their squad.
Type five concerns.
Where are your concerns, Tim?
Type five. Although I do think their front row is looking better than it has done in pretty much ever. Rapava Ruskin.
I think he's a very smart.
Rapava Ruskin, Hibbard, and Afoa as a front row looks,
but we know
pretty good.
We've seen enough of Hibbard and Afoa to know that looks great on paper, doesn't work out in reality.
Correct.
Val Rapava Ruskin, though, they've had a long time issue with loosehead prop.
Rapava Ruskin, yeah. And they've got McAllister
as well,
the Ulsterman,
who allegedly is going to be an amazing scrummager. I've never seen it.
He is a big, strong boy.
Val Rapava Ruskin is fringes of the England squad.
See, I think Ruskin is a smarter signing. The reason I think that is he's on a lot of money. But I think if he's on, what, a three-year deal, five-year deal?
Something like that, yep.
If he's on a three-year deal, I reckon by the time it's the end of the three-year deal, if things go the way they are, he'll be an underpaid loosehead prop.
Potentially.
So that isn't too shabby. I tend to agree with you.
Well, Slater in that second row. Slater and we talked about this last week.
Ludlow's some player. That's the guy to watch out for. He is a really good player.
He is a good player. I just feel there's gaps.
Yeah, I'd agree. Gaps, type five for me. They've tried to answer a few of those. I'm not sure they've got all the right answers yet. Mm.
And again, you scratch below the starting 15, and I don't think it's quite as... Although they've got some quite exciting players in there, again, coming through the academy all the time. In fact, one person that coached me 1 year, Pete Pelledri, his son Jake Pelledri, looks like a really talented
See the Italian
back row. He's Bristolian, but he's been at Harvey College and
of Italian descent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
His dad was a bit of a Bristol rugby legend, and he's looking really good. Anyway, the final point he makes is May for Slater. Really? Do we even need to cover this? May is revered in the stands and offers a bit of stardust to our backline with his electrifying pace. Why are the club even considering this one? Maybe to get some England money off the wage bill. I imagine it is financial. We talked about it last week. I don't understand Gloucester's logic on this one. I would have understood it last year or the year before or the year before. Purely from a financial cost-reward scenario. I don't understand it this year when Johnny May will probably, if fit, play 18 of each Premiership games.
Yeah.
Let's say.
He's most likely to be fourth choice England winger. So if
I
everyone's
don't
know. Fit,
the thing about Johnny
play.
May is even when I think he has no right to be in the squad, he shows up. So I do not buy for a second that he won't be in the squad. I think he will be.
But only if people get injured. Watson, Daly, Noel.
Nah.
Yeah.
For whatever reason it is, and I don't know why, I think that he'll start. Johnny May has been out of the game for like 12 months, and then he's fit. I think he plays like half a game for Gloucester, and is in the England squad. For whatever reason it is, that they love him there. And even if he's not playing in England, he'll be on the bench.
We've only got a couple of months to wait till the autumn internationals, yeah. And then we can a few months, and we will see.
Hear me now, believe me later. he will be in the England squad.
Joe Smith finishes by saying, I know we're a passionate bunch and often get gypped for our moaning and slight sense of entitlement, but the general feeling among the fans for this season is not one of optimism. Stephen Vaughan talks a good game, but it doesn't feel as though the loyal supporters are being... it feels as though the loyal supporters are being somewhat isolated for reasons that only seem financial. At least we have Ross Moriarty for one more season, or at the time of writing. Cheers, guys. Joe Smith, long-time listener, part of the long-suffering Gloss family and the LTBP community.
Well done.
Good lad.
Thank you, Joe.
And well done for coming out as part of our community.
So, in summary, well, I am definitely saying... Not this year.
Yeah,
but
go on.
With a bit of squad building, promoting the right guys through the academy, bit of care and attention, spend that money wisely.
Maybe next year. 2018-19 could
be. Maybe next year.
I think it's fair to say that'll be their year.
Yeah.
Next year's Gloucester's year.
But not this season.
The biggest plus for me about Gloucester, and it's the backs are great, blah, 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 but the biggest plus is the fact that the Gloucester fan that sent in that review is gloomy about this year. If you thought this was his year, I think nothing's going to happen. But the fact they don't think it's their year, that might be the key thing here. I don't know what I think.
Look at Exeter Chiefs. If you just look at the squad on paper, you might say, "Oh, they've got a lot of competent, good players," but no, they're not a championship-winning side. But there's a That word culture and that
identity,
that leadership and that identity, it can have a big part to play. So if Johan Ackerman can do something, maybe, you know, Gloucester, you turn a lot of their, I think they had something like 9 or 10 Premiership games that they lost by less than 7 points.
Yeah.
You turn half a dozen of those round the other direction.
Yeah.
In fact, I think it was 9 or 10. It might have been 10 games they lost by. Every game that was within 7 points, they lost. They didn't win a single
Jesus,
game.
Jesus, is that right?
In a 7 point match.
You turn half of those around, it changes your season.
Completely changes it.
You're pushing for top four.
So,
I just don't know, Gloucester.
They've got the potential to be the surprise package. I don't think they will be.
I would agree with that. Yeah.
Yeah, kind of with you.
But if they start getting.
If that is like the third worst team in the Premiership, say. What a Premiership. Because they're not bad. I mean, they're just not as good as the guys. That's the thing when you're discussing the Premiership, is like, it's not all the teams are good, but it's just how much better the other teams are around them.
Yeah.
And that's the main thing to consider. Whew.
It is an amazing competition, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah, cannot wait.
Cannot wait for the Avicii. Right, so there's a Women's World Cup as well to talk about.
There is. So, kicks off on Wednesday in Ireland.
Who are trying to get the 2023 World Cup as well.
So this would be a good...
It's France or Ireland is pretty much going to be one of those. I think it'll be Ireland because they haven't had it before.
Yeah.
Surely it'll be
and
Ireland.
Also, I think I'm right in saying France have got the Olympics, have they, or something?
I couldn't
tell you. I'm sure France
has Paris got the Olympics.
Well, yeah. Like Brazil had the Olympics and the Football World Cup within 2 years of each other.
Correct, that's right. And rugby wants to avoid that scenario of two big competitions back to back.
Japan have got Rugby World Cup and then the Olympics, haven't they?
I don't know.
I'm sure they have.
I'm sure Paris have got one.
Yeah, maybe Paris have got the Olympics after that.
I think anyway. It feels Ireland should have it. The Republic of Ireland have never. Oh no, they have. They have hosted in 1991.
So
they had their home games. So Ireland had their games at home.
If Ireland get it,
but Ireland have never had teams other than whoever Ireland are playing over there in the Republic.
Yeah. So if Ireland get it, right, the only difference will be there is a final in Ireland. I would be amazed if the games aren't spread as far as Paris. So they'll do one in the Millennium, they'll do a couple in Twickenham. That's what they'll
maybe
do.
Maybe a couple in Murrayfield.
Yeah, you've got to win the votes. So I think in England...
Also, chuck a little... Oh, but come on, England would vote for... The England Union would vote for Ireland.
Wouldn't they?
Vote for Ireland. Providing we get our coffers... boosted by a nice little game in Twickenham.
Yeah. So, no, what I'm saying...
So,
right,
you can have our vote,
yeah,
but we want a home game in Twickenham.
In the Southern Hemisphere, all the countries are pretty far apart. So, like, you couldn't have a game in New Zealand...
and then one in Argentina.
Yeah, forget it. Not going to happen. But usually with the Northern Unions, what will happen is to win their votes, they'll say, oh, just throw us...
Quicker to fly from Dublin to Scotland than it is to drive from one end of New Zealand.
Well, it's certainly quicker to fly from Dublin to Scotland than to drive to Dublin, Scotland. So they'll throw each other games. Throw the games, obviously. That'd be stupid.
In 2007, wasn't the France New Zealand game? Was that in the Millennium Stadium?
I went to watch it.
Even though it was France and it was their World Cup, they ended up playing a quarter final game in Wales.
Yes.
They did. But is that just to do with the size of the stadium? So I understand that maybe the quarterfinals you could spread it around the United Kingdom, but the grounds they've got Croke Park and the Aviva, both in Dublin.
Will they use Croke Park ever again for rugby?
I don't know. It doesn't make sense to you when you've got the Aviva, other than the sparing the turf. In Belfast.
Turman Park or
Ravenhill.
Yeah.
And
is there a football stadium there? Presumably.
Anyway, yeah, they don't have big football stadiums,
and you've got Munster, so they will need other grounds anyway.
Yeah.
So they'll definitely be one in the Millennium. Yeah. They'll almost certainly be one in Murrayfield.
But anyway, the Women's World Cup starts on Wednesday.
Yeah, the pick of the games from Wednesday. New Zealand play Wales. England play Spain. Ireland play Australia, which will be quite interesting. And France play Japan.
Excellent.
There's a couple of other games alongside that, including... Hong Kong women have qualified.
Now, this is I will be watching this because it's televised. It's on ITV, I think.
It's on ITV. The big games are all on ITV. Every other game is streamed by World Rugby on their Facebook page. So if you find yourself bored at some point on Wednesday, get onto one of those two places.
Yeah, even if you're not bored.
Yeah, there'll be some good rugby. Will genuinely be some good rugby in that.
Without sounding horribly... No, forget it. I'm going to sound patronising. I don't care. I was very pleasantly surprised at the standard last World Cup, and I'm looking forward to seeing it this World Cup because the women's game has only progressed. I mean, this is very anecdotal, but certainly in Manchester, the take-up in the women's game seems to be huge. The growth compared to the men's game, certainly around here, is well worth noting. How this is going to affect the England team, though, I don't know. You've got to remember, they are basically full-time professionals until after this tournament.
Yeah, right now they're full-time professionals. Yeah. In a month's time, they will no longer be full-time professionals.
So get some rugby in ya, whilst there is none to talk about. And we, of course, will be here watching it, soaking it up. We do need some more. We've got a lot of clubs covered, but...
We're quarter of the way through the clubs now.
Quarter of the way through the clubs. I know there's only a couple of holes, I think. As I said, mentioned Scarlets earlier.
Yeah.
And...
have we got Newcastle?
Newcastle. Come on, Newcastle. And no one from Sale's bothered, because JB, they know... is like,
come on, boys.
JB, super fan.
I'm not a super fan. If you're an actual fan of Sale, please let us know so we can do the review.
Newcastle Sale Scarlets or anything else, contact eggchasers@gmail.com. Follow and all the rest of it on Twitter at Rugby Podcast and Facebook. And subscribe on iTunes and Acast and leave your review.
One more thing before we go.
Yes, go please, Phil.
When is a game not a game?
Oh!
I think the correct question should be, when is not a game a game?
Don't know.
When is not a game
what
a game?
What are you even talking about?
When...
You psychopath.
Yeah, wow. What?
Well, when is a match not a match?
When is a match not a match?
Stop me, mate.
So when three teams... So, well, the definition under...
So is this like, you know, the phrase... If a tree falls in a forest and no one hears it, did it really fall? Is this like that when no one's actually at the AJ Bell to watch a rugby game?
Did it actually happen? It is a little bit like that. So, the definition of a match according to World Rugby is Regulation 1, a game in which two teams compete against each other.
Okay.
Now that is very pertinent this week because an independent panel. Not World Rugby, but an independent panel has deemed a training exercise between three teams where they each play one third against one another as a match in order to allow Sonny Bill's 4-week suspension to finish this coming weekend, so that he is eligible for the Rugby Championship.
There you go.
To which World Rugby...
What a shame.
So it was an independent panel, and World Rugby themselves have announced...
An independent panel, but who is this independent panel?
I'm not quite sure how
from the New Zealand Rugby Football Union.
I think it might be, yeah. Not quite sure how this has been allowed to take place, but World Rugby themselves have said they are very surprised that this not a match, which doesn't confine to the definition of a match, has been deemed to be a match. But Sonny Bill will be available for New Zealand. That's the only important thing.
I absolutely love it. I absolutely love it. If you ask me, rugby is veering away from what it should be, which is basically a bit of an all boys society. And if your guy needs something, right, and he's good enough and he's important enough, you should bend over backwards as an administrator to facilitate that man getting back on the field. And good. I mean, I'd like to go back to the days where, you know, you play for your local club and you either get a little backhander or a job. So, you know, this is really good news. I am glad that the New Zealanders have done this, standing by their guy. Is that three games?
It's not good. The New Zealanders. It's an independent panel.
Good.
My favourite tweet on this was the independent panel have also deemed... it necessary to take retrospective action for Anthony Watson's reckless headbutt to Sonny Bill Williams' shoulder.
Exactly right. Yeah, good.
Very good. Very good.
Just a reminder as well before we go, me and Phil, not Tim, are going to the Philadelphia match. Tim's too busy making the big bucks for BT. So we are going to be there covering it. So if you are in New York... On the Thursday or the Friday. Thursday, we're going to be on the beers, obvs. Friday, we're going to play a game, we think, for Bayonne Bombers' second team.
I'm devastated. I'm absolutely...
It's going to be awesome.
I mean, I'm very, very much looking forward to Leicester v...
Wasps, isn't it?
No, it's Wasps v... Exeter on the Sunday.
Okay.
I've got a game on the Saturday.
Repeat of the final. It might be a great game to
it
work.
It might be Leicester v Bath, or is that the first game of the season? Anyway, whatever it is, I'm delighted to be covering those games in a reporter capacity, but devastated that I can't do it all.
Yep. And then on the Saturday, train down to Philadelphia, watch the game, maybe a beer or two afterwards.
I could use a beer.
Yeah, we'll be thirsty, that's for sure.
Exactly. We're then working hard covering
Sunday,
the game.
Sunday, if you're still there, we'll be somewhere in a pub in Philadelphia. I'm going to be watching the NFL from 12 o'clock, and I'm not going to stop until that last game in the evening.
Good for you.
And I cannot wait.
Great, good for you. I'm really pleased for you.
Cannot wait.
Yeah, sounds good. Sounds good, yeah.
Something which Tim will be coming to. It will be our next live show. Big news. announce now, it's going to be Madrid, it's going to be during the Six Nations or the European Nations Cup, and it's going to be watching Spain.
What? Yeah, does Spain have a game on the final weekend? That 3 days, the three games Super Saturday weekend, if Spain have a home game then, we should maybe circle that one already.
I think so.
Definitely.
I think so.
Definitely.
It's going to be Madrid.
When does the championship...
We've got to check the fixtures. But...
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. Madrid is the aspiration.
Start thinking Madrid. You can get cheap flights, cheap digs, and cheap drinks as well.
Yeah, and come and have a few pints with us.
Can't wait. We got 100 to
We've
got more.
We've got more than we could fit in the venue.
Yeah, more than 100 to Romania. So let's see what we can get out to Madrid. And if you're in New York, if you're in Philly, send us a tweet. We'll meet up for a beer.
It was more than the fire officer would allow. And those Romanian fire officers notoriously lax.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, I thought famously strict.
Oh, sorry, famously strict.
Yeah, famously strict.
And on that, we will bid you adieu and say, see you next time. Let the boys play.
Let the boys play.
Sweet. Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project... there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.